This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 16th of April, 1964. The title of this lecture is Auditing by Lists. This tape is 78 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. What's the date? 16th of April. Have to make you work for this lecture one way or the other. AD 14, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. How are you today? Good. All right. Well, I haven't anything to talk to you today about. You're all doing marvelously. You just couldn't do better unless you began to audit. And all the departments are going well. They even tell me there's going to be a checkout in a week or two in practical. Yes, things are looking up, looking up. There is one good news item, which is marvelous. Is apparently the auditor is going across with a smash, the new magazine. And we almost never have reader mail on these national magazines and so forth, or PABs. Nobody ever bothers to write. They write on other lines, you know, but they almost never mention these magazines. And it's very peculiar that the auditor, on its first issue, immediately crash, bang, you see letters pouring into the editor, everything going off with a bang and a crash and a thud. So we launched that one into an aura of great success. So let's hope the whole auditor's division goes ahead along that line. Let's hope they all go along with great success. And a lot of us were on to that publication. And we have the magic key there. All right. Now, I hope the situation's And class sick going to remedy any time now. And some of you going to get brave enough to really go out and confront the tiger. I've been swamping up any little odd bitter piece that you might collide with. It's down to a point now where a collision with an error or an oddity wouldn't do too much to your PC anyway. You'd catch it in due course. But that's pretty well ready to go. And I want to see some of those class six students there really moving up, because don't look so pale, because it just because a couple of them got moved back off for inadequate TA division and so forth. It just shows you something. I had a lot of people finding goals on this, and they never found out that one of the series is non-existent. Very interesting to me. I mean, I do this all the time. I mean, I'm working in some particular field, and there's some glaring error to be found there, and so forth. Nobody ever finds it. And it drives me ahead into zones and areas of greater responsibility. And you really bog me down with responsibility and so forth, because I figure if I made an error, you'd go along till heck was a pup before you'd ever turn it up. And, it's really saddles me with one, you know. It's a serious situation. So as a result, when I audit the bank and the PC and all the future mistakes you're going to make. And it makes my auditing quite difficult. But this area is pretty well swamped out now and pretty straight. And I've gotten into a zone now of overcorrection. I'm now having made one little slip. See, I didn't release it. I was going to recheck it before I released everything. And then before I released it on the recheck, I found out there was an error. And there was also a bit of a line plot error. There was a word or so missing out of the line plot. But I'm now into an area where I'm overcorrecting. You see what I mean? I mean, you do this with a PC every once in a while. You can also do it with a piece of research. you find out that it was the break of reality which upset the PC, you see. And then you go on looking, see. And if you go on looking far enough, you'll have the PC upset all over again. You get your good indicators back in, and then you go looking for something that is wrong. I've now done this with some of our upper-level materials and so forth. I've gone so far looking for something wrong, don't you see, that now all I can find is invalidation of what's right. But you're in very good shape this way, and things are all fine. I want to see some auditing teams going on it. And I'd say now that we lie about 200 to 300 hours of auditing from OT for about at least 30% of the people I'm looking at right this minute. Providing you audit. That's necessary. I want to talk to you today. Those are all just announcements and so forth. I want to talk to you today about auditing by lists. And I'm getting so tired of writing somebody in North Darwin. You know, you don't dare go too north in Darwin. You get your feet wet, you know. somebody here and somebody there, somebody on course, writing down the explicit directions of how you audit by list. And I think I'd better make it public property. I think that might be a very good idea. I'm not yet in a position where I can release the whole of auditing by list because we haven't, you know, cleared up and straightened up all the lists by which you audit. Now, Sherlock Holmes used to turn to Dr. Watson every once in a while and say, Watson the needle, you know. He used to turn around once in a while and he'd say this, you see, and Watson was supposed to give him the needle. But level three is the needle level. That's the needle level. Level two and lower are tone arm levels. And your first level that pays any attention to the needle, except to use it for centering the tone arm, is three. Now that's very important because that's your HCA, HPA level. Now as you realize now, a co-auditor can be known by the fact that at this level he has an HCA certificate and a classified auditor can be known because at this level he has an HPA certificate. We're separating them right there, so you better get your certificates turned in and straightened out. Anyway, a very, very careful study, a very careful study of auditors and auditing lies behind all of these level divisions. And with a great deal of skill, and it does require apparently a great deal of skill, once a person is accustomed to auditing the PC, he can then learn how to use a needle. There are very few auditors who are simply monkeying around with the tone arm and so forth are aware of the amount of skill necessary to use a needle. Let me tell you some of the difficulties of using a needle. A needle, unlike a tone arm, can be upset by the PC's reaction to the auditing session or question. Unlike the tone arm. Now, you can't tell, really, from the tone arm action whether or not the PC is upset or anything else. And the PC might very well be upset, but it doesn't reflect in the tone arm action. You say, well, yes, and so forth, it would go up. But I'm afraid that isn't a constant manifestation at all. I know a PC who, whenever she gets mad in session, has a TA blowdown. I've seen PCs blow their TAs down by protesting. I've seen all kinds of wild things happen to a TA. So a TA is actually not a direct representation of the reaction of the PC to the session. Whether you get TA action or not is, but after all, that's a 2.5 hour look, isn't it? Well, of course, you pick it up within 20 minutes or something like that, that he isn't getting TA action. But it really doesn't say whether or not the process is wrong or the PC's reaction is wrong. It doesn't really tell you why you're getting no tone arm action. In other words, the tone arm does not analyze the session beyond saying whether or not the PC is getting gain. But it doesn't analyze the session because the PC may not be getting gain because you're running the wrong process. So therefore, it is not a direct indicator on the subject of the session. A tone arm is not, because it includes the process. The process has a great deal to do with it. Well, not so a needle. You start the action known as cleaning a needle. And you immediately run into the fact that the needle, first and foremost, registers the session, and secondarily registers the process or reaction of the PC. Your first needle reaction is session. Now, the only difficult manifestation of a needle for an auditor to learn to cope with is what is called a dirty needle. Now, let's take this as the crudest manifestation, the dirty needle. Now, there's very few auditors are ever sufficiently self-flagellantish to recognize the source of a dirty needle. The source of the dirty needle is always the auditor. It's never anything else. It's always the auditor. If you've got a little zzzz, you know, your needle's going tick 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 zzzz, it's just a little shaky bzz, and slower fast, it's a little shaky bzz, it's going up and down and so on and so on. It's not lying there calmly like it's asleep. It's lying there so it's got St. Vitus dance. This thing can only be as wide, by the way, as an eighth of an inch or something like that, but it's still a dirty needle. That dirty needle is always traceable back to the auditor's failure to handle the auditing comm cycle one way or the other, or to handle an auditing cycle, which is a process or something. But the PC is reacting to the auditor's disability to audit. The auditor's done something. Now, don't think every auditor is sooner or later going to come out to a point where he never has a dirty needle. This is not an attainable absolute, because the auditor varies in his emotional stresses and sessions, and the auditor is trying to get something done. He's completely out of sympathy with this PC who is just giving him the 5,765th problem, when all he's trying to do is to find out if the PC has suppressed anything. And the PC is going on at a mad rate. Nevertheless, it is the auditor's reaction that gives the dirty needle. You would not get the dirty needle just because the PC is going on endlessly, not following the process. When you bring up the PC with a dull thud, by failing to acknowledge, by insisting the PC answer something, by chopping his communication in some particular fashion, by not accepting his answer, any way that you could possibly interrupt the comm cycle, you'll see magically appear before you a dirty needle. In other words, the PC could have done the wildest and most incredible things on a process level without acquiring a dirty needle, and gets a dirty needle the moment that the auditor gives them a bad time or chops them or squares it up or does an unsmooth action. So there is a little piece of evidence that you yourself will see from time to time if you care to observe it. Might be a good thing for you to observe it occasionally, because you will never do a level 4 assessment unless you understand the level 3 skills of the needle. Level 3 is almost totally devoted to needle. If you follow the needle, you will get tone arm action. If you don't handle the needle, you won't get tone arm action. Now, the PC, let us say, we have a question here. do birds fly? And the PC has no charge on this question. There isn't anything in this question at all, do birds fly? There's nothing to this question. The PC doesn't care about birds. He hasn't any answer to it. He has no interest in it of any kind whatsoever. So you say, do birds fly? And the needle registers absolutely nothing. It's a completely smooth flow. And at that moment, you went slightly cross-eyed, and you didn't see that it had a very smooth flow. So you decided to ask the question again. And you say, do birds fly? And that's it. You've had it. It's a sort of not handling the PC's answer anyhow. It's actually not taking the needle reaction which was there to be had. You simply didn't see it. So you force this question down the PC's neck, even if you say, that was equivocal. I will have to ask it again. Well, usually that gets you over the hump, but not always. So we asked this question again, do birds fly? And at this moment, the PC said, all blank, to himself. And you get that registering on the needle. Now, the uninformed auditor believes at this point that he missed the read the first time and now has a read. He doesn't bother to clean up the PC's considerations, but he assumes that he now has a read on do birds fly. So he is going to clean this question. Remember what I told you, the first reaction of a needle is to the session, and the second reaction of the needle is to the question. So the auditor has assumed now, bypassing the possibility that it was a session reaction, he has assumed that he has a hot question because the needle ticked. So he says, well, it read. PC said, no, birds fly, bleh. But it read. Oh, it read. I guess the sea, the bird fly. Hell, the kind of bird, the sea, they climb, not fly. Oh, let's see. And you get the standard recession reaction that some people like to think of as auditing. See, you turn it on right there. PC's out of session. He's not interested in what you're doing. Now you can sit there and you ask, do birds fly? And you're going to get a bigger and bigger and bigger reaction to this question. Every time you ask the question, you're going to get more reaction to the question because your needle reacts first to the session and second to the process. Now the auditor eventually gets into an ARC break situation, let us say. The PC explodes all over the place. He eventually gets list one, and he starts down list one, and he clears up the ARC break, and finally so forth, and he gets a smooth needle again. But supposing this auditor never had learned anything about cleaning up a needle or that the needle reaction was primary to the session and secondary to the process. And let's suppose the auditor hadn't any clue about any of this. While he's doing the ARC break assessment, he does the same thing. He gets the wrong level or something of that sort. And he does it once more. Therefore, you don't let auditors at level three assess anything. This takes a senior understanding. Now, if the PC has already been upset, it will be because the auditor could not handle the needle. To let that auditor now do an ARC break assessment on the PC is going to result in a multiplication of the ARC break because this auditor has already not handled the needle, and handling an ARC break is a process of handling a needle. That's a technique of handling a needle, you see. Now, even an experienced auditor, I've seen them goof an ARC break, something marvelous. Just wrap it around a couple of telegraph poles and leave it there in a pile of junk. ARC break the PC on an ARC break assessment. PC all of a sudden originates, and he says, well, the charge was so-and-so. That was what it was. Brightens up. Everything is fine. And the auditor goes back to the question he is trying to clean. The PC now protests this question because it wasn't that question, it was the other question, so it makes it seem to the PC that the auditor has not received his communication, so he gets a dirty chopped-up needle. The auditor tries to ask this question, has a communication been ignored, and of course this question is being protested by the PC, so you get a bigger read on it, and the auditor insists that the bypass charge is an ignored communication. The PC is trying to insist that it was a broken reality, and between the two of them, they stir up the most gorgeous ARC break you ever saw in your life. You see how this goes. All you have to recognize about a needle is that the needle first and foremost reflects the condition of the session and secondarily reflects other things that you're flicking and ticking at. Now, you're very, very lucky to have a Mark V meter. Early meters were about as sensitive as a Nazi. You got nothing out of them. In fact, I have seen meters that have been manufactured out from under so lousy, so horrible, and so on, you practically could short the electrodes. Now, the meters which are being, you know, no reaction, the meters which are being used by infantry in Vietnam to hand to the communist fellow traveler who has just come from general headquarters, whatever it is, this meter, if it isn't a copy of the Mark V, would be a complete bust. They don't know what this thing is supposed to be all about. They have no real clue. When you get your lie detector buzzards going around and your medics fooling around with a thing called the mind, they know what a mind is. It's something you attack with a scalpel and a saw. When you get these, it's very hard for me to use just pleasant language in dealing with it. And we've got one down which Reg bought at vast expense, and I'm awfully glad we've got it, though. It's still around the place. It is a medical doctor's e-meter. Marvelous thing. I don't know what it's supposed to tell, but it's marvelous. There is no way you can reduce the sensitivity on the confounded thing, and it's geared up to read horses or mules or something. I don't know what it is, but all that needle does is bounce from both sides and so on body motion. It won't give you anything but body motion. It has no faintest mental reaction traceable on it anyplace. If somebody moves his foot across the room from the person handling the electrodes, this thing falls 3 and 4 dials. You think I'm kidding, man, but you ought to see that thing. It is an absolute beast. The medical doctor's e-meter. Actually, even the sensitivity has nothing to do with it. It isn't how sensitive the meter is that makes it a good meter. Somebody can throw together some old pots and tin cans and so forth and say, this is an e-meter, and you look at it and you squeeze the cans and, oh man, it flies all over the place. That factor, the looseness of the needle, does not establish whether or not your e-meter is an operative meter. Nor the inactivity of the needle, as some of these old pots and so forth that were counterfeited up the line in the earlier days, that doesn't establish it either. An e-meter must measure mental reaction with a minimum of physical reaction. And that is the trick, and that's the design of the Mark V. Now, the Mark V will register an analytical and slightly sub reaction. It is geared up so that if the PC has a reality on what you've asked him, you will get a read on that thing on the meter. Okay? That's a very beautifully balanced little situation. And we're very lucky. It took years to evolve this meter. But it's a careful balance out of these factors. Every time somebody says, let's get a new meter, I throw up my hands in horror. I remember there is a civilization a few galaxies over here that It's got spaceships and backpacks and infantry Zerp guns, and it's got this, and it's got certain types of motorcycles, and it's got that, and so forth. Probably a lot of you are from there, because every time it loses a battle, they ship the people over here. Huh? The enemy does. They know how to get even. So, anyway, this old civilization is just about the meanest area to try to put an idea into it you ever had. You see, they worked it out for years and eons, been going for billions and trillions of years with an uninterrupted flow, which is pretty unusual in civilizations anyhow. And is on complete, perfect, no change. You say, we got an idea for spaceships. Their spaceships aren't all that good. They're as good as spaceships can be, but you could undoubtedly make a better spaceship, you see. But they blow up on occasion, and they do this on occasion, they do that on occasion. They mess up one way or the other. And yet, to try to get any idea across to them fills the hierarchy of that particular activity with absolute horror, because they've lived with and through all of the areas of innovation. And innovation to them is dangerous on a departure from the highly workable. Well, what got them into this frame of mind is the degree of workability which they demanded was a fairly flexible, wide-open degree of workability, you see. Did it take you 1,000 years to go from A to B? Well, naturally, that's unworkable. Well, could you get there in a month or two? You know, one galaxy to another galaxy or something like that. Oh, yeah, oh, easy. All right, well, that's workable. Now, when you try to vary off of this level of workability, you run into undesirable factors. In other words, you can get a greater, quote, workability, which is much harder to work. You see? They've been through this so often that finally, I mean, trying to give them any new weapon, tool, or anything else would be absolutely, you just might as well bash your head against a concrete wall. I swear you couldn't even change the design of a trigger guard. They've seen it all, so on. I'm afraid we're getting that way about the E-meter, because this has a greater degree of workability than you will ever need. This is already up in the stars. We fought this battle a few years ago, and it was a rough battle to fight. But frankly, this thing will read almost anything you want to know. It's sensitivity 16. Almost anything you want to know, sensitivity 16 will give you just about anything you've got. Now, if you want to expand and magnify the read, you've got on the sensitivity knob, you've got 32. And if you want to expand and magnify the read, you've got 64. And if you want to expand and magnify the read, you've got 128. You're going upstairs now from any desirability. If this thing simply worked at 16 only, with the other knob set at 32, if you could never get it higher than 16, it'd still be usable at level 3. We're in danger of stultification. I suppose if there's some new method of containing charge inside a battery comes out, that might possibly be altered in an E-meter. You know, it'd run for 10 years without recharge or something like that. That'd be desirable, but I don't think there'd be anything get changed inside the meter, because as far as that's concerned, I've had it. I've fooled with these things for a dozen years. You never saw anybody get as sick of anything as experimental models of an E-meter. If you want to really see me go into a screaming fit, bring me a proposed change in the design and circuit of an E-meter so that it is easier to manufacture, or something like this, or something like that. What? Oh, no! Horrible. Because I'm afraid we'll lose the workability we've got. And I want to impress upon you that that is a poised knife edge. You go pushing around this thing very much and depart from it very far, and you'll find yourself in a horrible situation of having improved yourself out of a workability. It may have some new desirable factor. You may be able to get it inside your pocketbook, but it won't read a PC, you know? So this is what's known as holding the line on this. Now, frankly, the width and latitude of this E-meter is so great that at class 6, you have to audit down around 4 and 6. And you're a fool if you audit above there, and yet when you begin to audit, you will do it. You will learn this lesson all by yourself, all with your own little paws. I love to shoot those things down. Anyhow. You'll find out that you think you can get a better performance or something like that out of your PC or something by carrying it at a higher level of sensitivity, or to agree with the fact that Ron says you ought to get dial-wide falls on a goal or something, then you start jacking up the sensitivity in order to get the dial-wide drop, don't you see? You don't keep sweating it out to try to get the dial-wide drop at sensitivity 4. Various odd things, but you will eventually come back to the complete boredom of running the thing at 8 and start bringing it back within the levels of practical action, which is around 4 or 5. I can tell the difference between setting an E-meter at 4 and 5 on class 6 material. I'll accidentally let it drift up just to 5, and all of a sudden I'm... something's awful live around here. What's going on, you see? And retreat it back to 4. You know, kick it with your finger or something like that, and it drifts up just one division. Well, look, at the highest levels, we're running this confounded E-meter at about, what sensitivity 4 in relationship to 128, see? We're something like driving a Cadillac, you see. We're driving a Cadillac along a level, smooth highway where you have no need of its springs, you have no need of its shock absorption, body weight, its horsepower. None of these things are necessary for what you're trying to do. All right, well, let's keep it that way. Because the truth of the matter is the E-meter is designed around the needle. You could design a tonar meter that you wouldn't need the needle reaction of, that would just perform fine at 2. We've already done it. And you could design a meter that would be minimal body reaction at class 6, and you probably could get away with it so long as you never had to resort to the needle. It's the needle that gives you trouble on a meter. That is the one thing which you got to watch. A bad meter does not give you needle response. It'll give you body responses, or it'll give you something else, or it won't respond to thought. It's whether or not this thing is geared up to thought. That's what's important. And the needle is what ties it into thought. It's its needle response. That is thought. And nowhere is as much demanded of an E-meter as at level 3. Level 3 is then the hot meter level. And if you can make somebody run a meter at level 3, and he can really make a meter snap and pop at level 3, I assure you he's never going to have any trouble in any other level. Gets to 4, it's a pipe. What's the trouble with assessment? 4 is your assessment level. What do you do it for? Why, you just go down and see what reads most, and you take it. So your assessment's got to be good. But what gets in the road of that assessment? The phenomena the person should have learned at level 3. That is, that the needle reacts to the session before it reacts to the subject matter. So, you got to be hotter than a pistol. You got to be able to sit there and keep that needle clean. And that is the first and foremost skill, because it requires that you keep your needle clean. That is to say, you keep your session good, so that at no time is the session getting in the road of the needle ticks, which you're using to audit the person. And all of a sudden, you've got a stray tick or a dirty needle or something like that, you've got to be hot enough to pick up the considerations which gave you that oddball phenomena. At three, it is demanded, or nobody could really run three at all, that all of this data about the meter, how it reacts to the session, how it reacts to body motion, that sort of thing, this has all got to be known, and it's got to be known terrifically well. The thing's got a boo, boo, boo. What the devil is that? Boo, boo, boo. Well, somebody who doesn't know what the devil that is not going to be able to straighten out the meter, because that is a session manifestation. The auditor has goofed. Something has gone wrong with the auditing cycle in this session. And he'd better jolly well straighten it up right now. He's trying to put in a rudiment. Has anything been suppressed? Well, he has a clean read. Now, he maybe doesn't know whether he had a clean read or not, so he thinks he had better ask the question again. So he asks the question again, but this time it runs into the negative. The PC has thought nothing there, see? So now he has a read on suppress, which is a session read. Up to that time, up to the moment he got the clean, it was reading the bank, see? And then he cleaned the clean. He saw the needle. Needle didn't even quiver. In this session's anything been suppressed? And the needle didn't even quiver. Well, if he said that read and demanded to know, or if he simply really even asked the question again, that meter manifestation has passed from process and mind over to session. He's moved the meter over from something that is measuring the PC's mind over to something that is now measuring the PC's condition of in-sessionness. The PC was with the session, and you are registering his mind. You make a goof with the needle, and you've got a PC who is against the session, and you are no longer reading his mind, you're reading his analytical session reaction. And you've moved the needle right out of moving in amongst the reactive bank into moving right amongst the session. Now, at three, a person has got to be able to tell that's happened. He got to first know that it can happen, and second, know when it has happened. And when that thing has happened, not to keep on being a complete nitwit about it. I've seen some real knucklehead, you know, I've watched a lot of TV demonstrations. I'm speaking from the proud plateau of having made every one of these mistakes myself, much worse than you ever made them. Because I made them with nobody telling me it was a mistake. I didn't have any help, see? I used to be in condition with a meter. I suppose the Mark V is very standard now. But meters of earlier days used to vary from meter to meter. You give an auditor a new meter. Taking as long as 2 weeks to get used to this meter. Well, it's the same transition you make from a Mark IV meter. Your Mark IV meter shifting to a V. I saw Mary Sue do that, and frankly, her hair was standing on end. She felt like she'd been put in a jet plane. This thing would barge and bang around like it and so forth, and she had to train her thumb into tricks that she'd never wotted of. You've got to break with your thumb the sweep of a Mark V meter if you're running it on rudiments that you're really trying to pick up carefully. And you've got to ask the question with a certain timing so that the end of your question comes when the needle is still on the dial. That's all manual dexterity. That's vocal and manual dexterity. You dream up certain tricks. This can get very tricky. You have to know exactly when to start asking the question
and when to arrest the needle and get your thumb off in time that your thumb will now no longer influence the resulting read that comes at the end of your question. Complicated, huh? So it's complicated. I've had to learn how to do it. So can you. Because if you're running that high, man, you can pick a guy's brains. You really can pick his brains. Now, needle manifestations do not just consist of ticks. There are things called slows and a speeded rise. Well, within the last few weeks, I dirtied up a needle completely unintentionally. I was asking suggested as a button, and I got what might have been a sort of a slowed, speeded rise. Something funny happened with the needle. It was almost imperceptible. And I said, well, I'm not going to nag the PC about this, and went on to the next question. And that one was a mess, and the next question was a mess, and the next one was a mess, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. No, there'd been an answer. I finally hauled it back, rehashing, and hauled it back to suggest. There'd been an answer on suggest, which then operated there afterwards as a missed withhold. But this fantastically slight manifestation of that needle, it was so slight that it was practically guesswork. In other words, any change of pace of that needle is a read, much less reverse direction. So you're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. Because this thing will read all the way south, if it reads on the needle, it'll be real to the PC. If it doesn't read on the needle, it won't be real to the PC. They're cut in. They're absolutely side by jowl there. So on. You said the experimental design problems of the meter. You know, early meters didn't read on some PCs because they were off the bottom, and didn't read on other PCs because they were off the top. And wild stuff. See? Well, we've covered that whole band now. And we have something that exactly compares to if the PC's going to know about it, or can know about it, you're going to get some manifestation on the needle. But a very fast-swinging needle gives a less perceptible reaction. If it were going very slowly, you would have gotten a more perceptible reaction. But that needle was traveling at the velocity of near light, don't you see? And it just vaguely changed its pace, and the inertia of the needle was sufficient to carry it through the reed. So it can get that rough. But what kind of a PC am I talking about now? I'm talking about a PC who is passing off the meter anyway. What do you mean off the meter? Well, along about 6, at level 6, and you get an in-around audit and actual GPMs, your meter passes out of this world. You've got to start running it. If you're going to put in rudiments on a PC, you've got to run it at a much higher sensitivity, and the PC is already reading better and clearer on a meter, don't you see? You somehow or other got to mesh this meter in against a PC who isn't really reading on a meter, who hasn't got that much reactive mind left, don't you see? It gets pretty messy, and when the PC's postulate made in the session gives you a rocket read, so that your greatest manifestations are off the thoughts of the PC. If you want to see a big read when a person's had a lot of level 6 stuff run on them, why, just have the PC decide something. Pew! What was that? Well, I just thought we'd had it, you know, we'd gotten it now. PC's postulates are rocket reading, see. You're actually auditing somebody who is an electric eel to begin with. And what you're mainly reading is reactive material, and all of this reactive potential is disappearing because a reactive potential is, a trillionth or some infinitesimal fraction what the person is actually capable of doing by himself. It isn't just the plain statement of what you can do reactively, you can do better analytically. That is an understatement. Somebody has a compulsion to wiggle his ears, you see. All right, so he wiggles his ears. Well, frankly, if he didn't have an inhibition on the subject of his ears, his ability to wiggle his ears could set up a 100-mile-an-hour breeze, don't you think? I mean, if you're doing analytically. It's not a proportionate remark. If a fellow could paint somewhat, we'll take Rembrandt, something rather, a reactive chap, he could paint somewhat, and so forth. Think of what the guy would have done if he hadn't had any reactivity at all on the subject. Wow. It'd just be strictly wow. It'd be that much better. It's magnitudinously better. It doesn't just pass from reactivity under your control, so now you can do it just as well. It actually isn't even in the same order of magnitude. Friends, I didn't get bright about photography until I started chipping around the edges of the GPMs about making pictures. I started to get real bright about photography. I started to get bright on the subject, you know. I've been going along and so forth. And I realized all of a sudden I had a perfectly working system of photography all grooved in, so I'd never noticed it before. We had a beautiful system of photography on the subject of color transparencies. Take a Rolly camera around here and just shoot about anything in the place and do it beautifully and gorgeous, and everybody owes and ahs over the thing. What do you do with it? Cost you £3.05 to have a color negative made so that you can have a single print. And then the print costs you £2.05. Something in the order of about £5.10, you can get a small snapshot. The interruption is the color transparency doesn't cost all this, just they can't be made into pictures. So last night, I was just upsetting Reg about it. So last night, I just all of a sudden said, hey, what do you know? And turned on Reg's big Rolly projector and turned it onto a big screen, took the land camera, took a picture, the most beautiful color snapshot you ever saw in your life. Brand new use for land cameras. Takes a beautiful black and white. You can then turn around and get a negative made of the black and white, by the way, for 15 cents. We had complete system sitting around here and so forth. All it needed to do was be put together, and that was that, and we had pictures. You can almost count on the fact that if you've got a reactive ability, you've got fantastic problems along with it. You can just count on that. If ability is at all reactive. Now, if you want to know whose ability is reactive, well, who is having problems with his ability? The circus performer has a lot of worry about having to so on, but he is the wildest human cannonball in the world, don't you see? But he seems to have this, he seems to have that, and so on. Well, he's reactively being a cannonball and so forth. Well, if you cleaned him up on this particular subject, he wouldn't have problems on the subject of being a cannonball. So that's all very, very interesting from a viewpoint of that. The problems get added by the reactivity, and the reactivity also takes all the power out of it. Well, this is completely reversed to the way the psychoanalyst thinks that the world works. He said, be glad you're neurotic, because you wouldn't have any skills unless you're neurotic. You know? Ding, 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 here comes the wagon. Well, of course, he wants everybody to be neurotic. That's how he makes his dough. They wouldn't sit there that long if they weren't so neurotic. The scope, then, of a person's ability depends on fishing it out into the analytical realm. And the magnitude of performance and so on is some fantastic, disproportionate figure. You've got a grain of sand to the mountain, don't you see? Brahms versus a musician, you know? It's a good thing for you to know this. I'm just not riding a hobby horse. It's a good thing to know this, because every once in a while you're going to get a PC who is going to balk. What if he lost his, you know, what? There's riders around that go around cultivating neuroses so they can write, you know, as though this has something to do with it. And so forth. And you sometimes actually need the data I'm giving you now. The softest statement is whatever a person can do reactively, he can do far better analytically. That's the softest statement made, but I'm giving you the actual scope of the situation. Anything he can do only reactively, he's going to have problems with a great magnitude. And the difference of proportion of ability and so forth is some one to some unimaginably large figure, you know, trillions to one, you know, something like that. Now, what's this got to do with the needle? Well, there actually isn't too much of a problem at level three, because you've got mostly a reactive being. He's on the reverse order. You got one trillionth of a being, and the remainder of it is reactivity. So at level three, your needle behaves fairly well on reactivity and doesn't get in your face too much on the session thing. There's a balance between these things, you see. Somebody can still be upset about the session and sometimes still even read a bit on the needle, you see. At six, this gets reversed. Now you really see it the wrong way, too. You ask if this thing is this way, and you'll tick, and so forth, and all of a sudden you get a rocket read, and you say, what was that? Oh, that I thought something or other, don't you see? So your reactive read is getting much tinier, and your analytical read getting much larger. But at level three, the reactive read is larger than the analytical read. Got that? Which is the only thing that saves anybody's bacon at level three if he's having trouble cuffing around a meter. But you got to know how to keep a needle clean. Well, therefore, you have to know to complete an auditing cycle, to complete your auditing comm cycle particularly. You've got to know when a needle, and it's just guesswork, when you've overreached a point and you're not getting a consistency and the PC seems to be unhappy about what you're doing with the needle, you've got to know then that you've got to go into the session part of it and straighten up the session part of it. But don't keep straightening up the session part of it with midroots to a point where you drive the PC out of session. That's the beautiful point of balance there. You can harass a PC who is running all right until he is very aware of the session. You can turn it around the other way, too. So what's the trick here? Is maintain the needle in good condition simply by maintaining your session in good condition. That's all you have to do to maintain the needle in good condition. Just keep your session in good condition. Don't get the PC against the session. Don't get the PC against you. Don't start harassing the PC one way or the other about things that are not this way or that way or something of the sort. And then, above all things, for God's sakes, never blame the PC because he's not behaving properly on a meter. All auditors, sooner or later, do this. And then, much to their embarrassment, they find out they haven't been asking the right question. It's this crazy. They've started from the last session. They've started the new session, and they're not getting the same reads on the needle that they were getting in the last session, and they start blaming the PC for having done something between sessions, and then much of their embarrassment, they look up at last session's auditor's report and find out they were running another question. They never cleaned off their last question. They did something weird. They're not asking the right question. That's why the PC isn't reading on the meter. Or they've got their session completely awry. They haven't got the PC in session at all. The needle. How to handle the needle. That is the basic, foremost skill of level three. And a person to be a class three auditor ought to be able to handle a needle backwards and forwards without ever cleaning a clean or missing a read. You clean a clean, you're going to throw the PC into a session awareness. He's already given you all he's got. Now you're asking him for more. Ah, you're going to dirty this thing up. He's got an answer. You don't ask for it. You're going to dirty this thing up. In other words, you're going to miss a read. That kind of thing shouldn't go. You've got to get those things ironed out as far as the auditor's concerned at Level 3. And he should realize that when he's getting screwball reads of some kind or another, like the PC says he hasn't got any answers, but he's getting reads, it should eventually dawn on the auditor that the PC is protesting or invalidating or suppressing or doing something weird in the session, about the session. He's got to recognize that the metering has shifted from the reactive to the session. And with just that data, and practically no other data than that, you really wrap up needle reading. That is needle reading. The peculiarities and consistencies and oddball nonsenses about reeds, well, let's just take body motion. So you got a big sweeping reed all of a sudden. I had a PC every time a foot was scraped across the floor, an electrostatic current was generated, and you got a read. And yet it was always done completely silently and without any other body motion. Well, that's a session reaction, isn't it? So it doesn't fall beyond that, and it's simply up to the auditor to find out what's going on. That's all. What you doing? Oh, I just moved my foot. Now, with that data, and knowing just that, you can do auditing by lists. And if you don't know that data, you can't do auditing by lists. Now, auditing by lists is going to confuse people left, right, and center, because they're going to say this has something then to do with assessment. No, it doesn't have anything to do with assessment at all. Because on auditing by list, you are not interested in which level or item of the list reads. That you are not interested in at all. You are simply interested in going down the list and making sure that each one in turn is cleaned up if it reads. You're not trying to go down a list and find one of these levels. Remember, that's the operation of an ARC break. All right, now get this difference. Assessment means reading down a list to find out which item on that list reads more than the other items on the list, which is the item. We are trying to find the item out of a list of items, whether it's listed by the PC or an arbitrary listing. That's assessment. That's trying to find the item. Now, auditing by list is no effort to find any part of the list greater than any other part of the list. This is just sawing wood. There are this many cords of wood up there, and it's going to take so much time and action to saw up these cords of wood. And that's all he does with the list. He just makes sure that each question on the list, in turn, is no longer reading when he leaves it. And that's the whole action of auditing by list. Making sure that each question taken up in turn is no longer reading, which requires the action, of course, of reading the question to find out if it reads, and then continuing to get actions to the question, get answers to the question until the question no longer reads, noticing now that the question is no longer reading and passing on to the next question. Along with that, what I've just given you, noticing that he is getting reads that are session reads which aren't associated with the question. See, that's part of that. Otherwise, he's trying to clean up session reads by reading a question. You know, PC's been protesting for a while. PC has a withhold. He's messed up something in this session, see? So now he continues to get reads on the list which aren't from the list. This requires the auditor to differentiate between these two things. And that's all there is to it. So we get, do I see a cat? Tick. Very good. I have a read here. Yow, yow, yow. Have you done that? Yow, 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 yow. All right. Do I see a cat?
All right, that is clean. Do I see a dog? That is clean. Do I see a horse? That reads. Yow, 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 yow. Do I see a horse? There is another reed there. Boy, shoot the auditor who never learns that trick. That is one of the slipperiest tricks in audit, and that causes more ARC breaks to say, that still reads. You see, what happens is, you just told the fellow he hasn't answered the question. You've given him instantaneous ARC break. Anytime something, a question reads twice in a row, it is always another read. It's not the same read, ever. Nothing ever still reads. It always has another read. It reads again on something else always. That is the understanding of the auditor's palaver. The auditor works that into his patter. It's always another. I have another read here. It's a major auditing error. It's a gross auditing error to say that still reads. Because what's he done? He's just refuted the fact the guy just cleaned it up. And the truth of the matter is, he has another read. It's not the same read that he had before. Always another read. So, we just go down this list, and we read the question. And if it gives a meter reaction, we get an answer to the question. If it doesn't get a meter reaction, we don't get an answer to the question. Then we just simply check the question again. If the question now has another read on it, we get another answer to the question. And we keep getting more answers to the degree that the question is more reads, you see? And eventually, unless we clean or miss it completely, we get a null needle on that question. And now we go to the next question, and we do the same thing with it. This is auditing by list. This is all there is to auditing by list. You have put in the auditor's paws the totality of the process. And you're doing audit and supervision on this. And you have a bunch of people worrying about this. Let me tell you something. You stand back in the corner with a sawed-off shotgun in your hand. You just wait for the first one to ask some dopey, stupid Q&A question. And just blow his head right off. Just splatter it all over the other students. And they won't do it anymore. Let me tell you, from long experience, that's practically what it takes. I'll show you what I mean. Have you ever kicked a horse? This is the question we are asking. Have you ever kicked a horse? All right, that reads, PC, well, actually, I kicked a cow once. I know, I remember it very vividly. I kicked a cow once. Oh, yes, what about kicking a cow? That's the moment you pull a shotgun up, cock it, and fire it. It's an incomplete cycle action. The next thing you know, this person's needle is going to look like so much jam. You're going to have PC all loused up and ARC broke. It doesn't matter how happy they look just now. All this is going to catch up with them. His question, blankety blank blanket, was, has he ever kicked a horse? An H-O-R-S-E horse. So he says he kicked a cow once. Okay, so he kicked a cow. All right, and you simply let him tell you all about kicking this cow. And you give him a sort of a half acknowledgement, and you say, yes, 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 yes. Oh, you asked him about a horse. Oh, yeah, there were some horses that you... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did kick a horse. Get the idea. Or if he's answered a cow and so forth, and you say, all right, kicked a cow. Now, how about a horse? You kicked a horse, the question was a horse. You have to do that very delicately because you ARC break the PC again that way.
You're making him wrong, see?
Well, he says, No, I did never have kicked a horse. Needle. Oh, well, now you've got one of your interesting problems, haven't you? You've got a needle reading one thing and the PC saying something else. What you do? Well, the 1, 2, 3 of it, you simply make sure that your read isn't coming from a sessionness. See? Are you protesting the question, invalidating the question? You upset about the question? Am I clean? What, something gone? Oh, that doesn't it. All right, thank you. Got that all straight. Now, have you ever kicked a horse that reads?
Oh, it's still reading. Well, oh, well. Guess I better think it over then. And you'll find out that's about the most serious reaction you get. Oh, yes, and I never told my father either. Oh, man. Oh, that was... Yeah. Yeah, and he licked my older brother for doing it. Had hoof prints all over the horse, you know. Oh, yeah. All right, good enough. Thank you. Now, let me test the question. Just let me check this question now. Just make sure it's clean. Have you ever kicked a horse? All right, that's clean. Thank you very much. And go on to the next question. Get the idea? There's nothing really fancy about this. It's just the 1, 2, 3, and you've got to, your auditor at this point has got to understand the combinations that can go awry. See, which is to say, you can come from reactive to session. You've got to get an answer to the question. You mustn't Q&A with it. I've known certain schools of thought on this subject that if he said a horse, you said a horse, and he said he kicked a cow, then you ask him about the cow, but halfway through that he cognized he kicked a dog, and then halfway through the dog, why, he cognized he kicked a pig, and each time the auditor said, well, how about the pig? How about the dog? How about the pig? There they go. They're way over there, going up that rise over there someplace. You know. Here's the session here, see, and they're just traveling up over the rise of the hill. They've just left it, man. That's nowhere. They never completed a cycle of action. A Q&A is simply a failure to complete a cycle of action, whether an auditing cycle or an auditing comm cycle or a program cycle. It just didn't complete the cycle of action. So you've got to complete those cycles of action on auditing by list. If you start list 62, don't get a sudden wild idea in the middle of the night and start tomorrow on list 65. No, finish list 62. See what I mean? Now, what are these lists? Well, they're nothing more than the plus minus misdemeanors and upsets that an individual could have. They're based in various lines and levels. A lot of technical aspects can go into the manufacture of a list. Now, we used to make auditors around here do lists for certain PCs. That was a big gag. And they'd do a list for a PC and everything come along fine. So an auditor also should be able to do a list for a PC as well as take a canned list. But once the list is made, it is simply, whether the auditor did it or it was done for him or something, now it is audited by list and is simply taken at question one and is cleaned through to the last question in just that fashion. Now, there's really only a hatful of little lists that can be done over and over and over and over again. And these are lists like L1 and what we've got is L4 in your mimeograph work. L1 and L4. You can clean L1 and then you can clean L4. Now, actually, those are used as auditing by list. They're not used for taking up an ARC break because they're not on an ARC break PC. They just have all these factors in them, so you go ahead and clean them up. Now, whether you vary the question or not is beside the point, but would probably not be used by you. It would be, has anyone ever, or something like that. You Hobson Jobson the question over to be a broader scope, don't you see? You don't have to put a time period to it or anything like that. You just go on and clean this list. Well, you, oddly enough, can clean list 1 and list 4 and list 1 and list 4 and list 1 and list 4, and it just goes on almost endlessly. That's because of the generality of the list. It's not a particularized or peculiar list to just this one PC. It embraces all the actions of life, so it's a repetitive list. You can go over it and over it and over it. You could keep on going, in other words, and using a pair of lists alternately, one against the other. And each time you're doing the same action, and it's simply auditing by list, which is an auditing action, which simply consists of what I've just been telling you about reading the needle, making sure the needle is clean on that question, making sure your auditing cycle was good, making sure it's clean, going to the next one, making sure that that one was clean, and so forth before you left it, just going on down to the last question. As simple as that. No arguments with the PC or upsets or anything about this and that. Don't monkey around with it. PC who's very recalcitrant and so forth. It looks like this thing is all going to pieces. Well, you might have a missed withhold or something like that crop up and hit you in the face. So it becomes part of auditing by list to be able to keep your rudiments in, of which missed withhold or failed to reveal is one. But look at rudiments in actual fact, and look at prep checking. Isn't prep checking really auditing by list? It's just cleaning the question and then going to the next question, and that's actually all you're doing with it. It's a simple action. So prep checking comes in also then, and anything we ever knew. International Idlewild here today. I got to get that new machine gun. They just advertised it. The prep checking, sec checking, all of these other types of clean up the needle, then all come at level 3. And if you want to know what is level 3, level 3 is that level where you clean the needle. Well, that brings us to level 4, of course. Well, what's 4? Well, 4 takes the list for an entirely different reason. The individual's now totally accustomed to list. So at level 4, he takes this for an entirely different reason. He's trying to find it. So level 4, you're trying to find something on the list, you see. You're trying to find that one level which you are now going to use in audit. That's for service facsimiles and things like that. Which one of these things is it? Well, that never bothers anybody at level 3. You see, he doesn't care which one of these things is it or not it. He just uses anything it reads. Got the difference? All right. Well, now this permits you, as a PC, of course, very, very little width. Yeah, you got very little width of wander. So therefore, you find out that you have to kind of stick to it. You can get sick of the question, but remember that you go up from boredom to enthusiasm. Now, there's a lot to know about a needle, but none of it exceeds anything that I've been telling you, and most of it's on the basis of familiarity. I've done a lot of theorizing about why people can't read needles when they can't and so forth. I found out that they couldn't see a still. They couldn't tell when something was still. That was what they couldn't tell. It wasn't that they couldn't recognize a motion. It was because they couldn't see a still. They couldn't see a reverse of direction or something like this. It had to do with visual acuity. And you get somebody who's got a comm lag in ordinary living of 5 or 10 seconds and so forth, he's going to have an awful time reading a needle. So it goes over rather easily into case. But, you know, you're only trying to do a familiarization deal with training. It's just the degree with which you'll familiarize somebody, and you can lick all these things just by getting somebody familiar with the needle itself, even if that's as odd as just reach and withdraw from the meter. And just meter drills in general, being becoming accustomed to the meter and watching the needle and doing things like this. Now, one of the interesting things that we've had going around here is we've had 2 or 3 people standing around watching one person put another person on a meter, and two observers. And you know, the auditor and the two observers are just in wild disagreement as to whether the meter is red or not red.
your bulletin drills and so forth have all been gauged to overcome these bits and frailties and so forth. There's been a lot of work on this, as you can see the number of drills that exist. But there is your toughest application is your auditing by list as far as the needle is concerned. Now, if a person can get through that, then, of course, a person can assess. A person can assess ARC breaks, and they can assess prep check subjects, and they can assess this and assess that. And they can take up, of course, lists of service facsimiles, and they can also learn the list. Now they're getting all ready to graduate, of course, into Class 6 materials, which takes this as a matter of course. It's really easier to read a meter at Class 6 than it is at Class 3. I think that probably wouldn't be true if a person couldn't read a meter at all at Class 3. He'd probably become very alarmed at the degree that meters read at Class 6. It's something to be alarmed about. You keep cranking it down and it still reads, you know. An inch read is probably questionable at Class 6. Why wasn't read?
I don't know.
Equivocal. So far. 2-inch read? Probably. 2-inch read with a blowdown. Oh, that's probably correct. Did the meter explode? Well, it's probably the right item. You know, that's the sort of approach to it. That's an entirely different field of area at level 3. You missed a read. A read? Where was it? It's speeded on that rise. There was an acceleration there for a period of over a quarter of an inch. It went a little bit faster for that period of a quarter of an inch than it did just before and did just after. That was a speeded rise. What's the matter with you? Can't you read a meter? I said, my God, a speeded rise. A quarter of an inch. Worse. Well, you get the difference of approach. So if a person can read a meter at level 3, he could do most anything, because I see even old-timers have trouble reading the 3. But that is auditing by list. When I tell you to straighten out a PC's ARC breaks, I really mean auditing. This is, you know, ARC breaky type PC. He's not now in an ARC break, you understand? But he's had a lot of trouble and upset, and he sort of feels poor. He will answer auditing questions. Everything's fine. It's just L1, L4. Alternately auditing by list. No fanciness to the question, you know. Just alter the question so it's broader, you see. But don't say in this lifetime, if you were something, just give it a broad answer. Clean that line by line, L1, then line by line, list 4, and L line by line, 1, L line by line, 4. This person's come up shining. I don't care what kind of condition he's in. Sometimes they do even when they don't know the nomenclature, which is quite remarkable. Anyway, there is auditing by list, and there is actually a very full rundown on what is contained at level 3 in Scientology. I hope it'll be of some assistance to you. Thank you.